Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here again. It's always good to be here on the Sabbath. It would be nice if the weather was a little brighter, but this is winter after all. Now, last Sabbath, there were millions and millions of children very excited. They were expecting a visit from Santa Claus. They'd been told by their parents that this little elf would be there that night to deliver toys for all the little boys and girls who were good. They'd been taught this by their parents, their older brothers and sisters, and even the church had taught them, Santa Claus is watching you. Be good. We've all been taught that, most of us, growing up. They've taught things like this bunny rabbit on Easter goes around hiding eggs. But eventually we learn all of this was a lie. What other things were we taught that was a lie? We couldn't see Santa Claus. We couldn't see the bunny rabbit. We couldn't see God. We couldn't see Jesus. Were these lies also? Everyone has faith in something. We have faith in doctors. Enough faith that we allow a doctor to cut us open and remove a part of our body. We have faith that they'll prescribe medication that is take care of the ails that we have, the pains. And even though they may have side effects, we have faith that these side effects aren't as bad as what we're being treated. In Luke 18:8, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, I'm going to cut in the middle of the sentence or the verse here, but it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, Bullinger's companion Bible says, I tell you that he will perform the avenging on them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the faith on earth? This definite article, the, is not included in many translations. Some of them have it, some of them don't. But this the makes a big difference. The makes a, defines this as a particular faith. Where without the definite article the, it just means faith. Now many different religions have faith. Muslims have faith in their God. The Hindu have faith in their different gods. The cannibals have faith in their gods. But Jesus was not referring to faith in general, but the faith. Faith in God. Faith in Him and His promises, His sacrifices. Faith in the gospel. This is what Jesus was referring to. Faith that we see today is predominantly it's a feel-good faith. Satan had deceived the whole world. And we were deceived until God opened our eyes. To open our eyes to understand. But he has deceived the world into accepting the faith that only soothes their conscience. But it has no substance. It doesn't require a change in their behavior. It doesn't require them to be obedient to God's laws. After all, they've been done away with in their faith. It's tolerant of ungodly behavior and intolerant of those who believe that we need to obey God, whatever He says. They believe that those who do believe God are unloving, uncaring for those that have a different belief. And intolerant of the needs and desires of those people. This is a counterfeit faith that is not found in Scripture. The title of my message today is, How Strong Is Your Faith? Jesus asked or said that, will he find faith or the faith when he returns? Will he find the faith in you? I want to look at faith today. Why is it important and how can we grow in it? The Oxford English Dictionary defines faith. We all know what faith is, really. But this puts it in words that we can identify with. It's complete trust or confidence. A strong belief in a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than truth. The Bible has a definition of faith. It's found in Hebrews 11, verse 1, a memory scripture for most people. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does this definition mean to you? What is substance? This word, according to Strong's, is hypostasis. It means it's a thing put under, substructure, a foundation. It means firm confidence, assurance. So faith is the foundation of all that we believe. It's why we believe it. We have foundation. It's our foundation. Now, evidence of things not seen, that's another definition. That's a conviction. Proof. Faith is the substance or assurance or confidence or foundation of things hoped for. Things hoped for, we don't have. If we have it, we no longer hope for it because it's there. Assurance is a confidence that we're going to receive it. Even though we don't have it yet, we know we're going to receive it. There are different translations of Hebrews 11, verse 1. The Moffat says, now faith means we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Bullinger's Companion Bible says, now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. So we have a general understanding of what faith is. Now, why is it important? Why did Jesus put so much importance in faith? In Ephesians 2:8, Paul writes, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. It is through faith in the atoning sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf that we have access to God's grace. The law will not save us. It does not save us. Faith saves us. But once saved, once forgiven of violating those laws, we can't continue breaking those laws. Otherwise, we fall back under the penalty of the law, which is our death. We have to obey those laws also. It's by faith that we understand that we're here. This world is here. This, all that we see and know in this universe, from the tiniest microbe to entire galaxies, are here because God willed them to be here. We don't have to have proof. It's faith that we know why they're here. They're here because God willed them to be here. We're called because God willed that we understand. He opened our minds to understand. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Peter writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that which fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We don't have that yet. It's there. But through faith, we do have it. But we can lose it. We can lose it. Verse 6, in which you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold, or that perishes, though it be tried in fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, in whom, having not seen, you love. We haven't seen Jesus as the apostles did. Those who seen him after he was resurrected, they no longer needed faith because they seen him. They knew. But we haven't seen him. As he told Thomas, you believe now because you see my hands. You can put your fist in my side. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Now this is paraphrase, but now verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith even to the salvation of your souls. The end result of the faith is our salvation. Faith gives us a reason to hope. It's the foundation of why we hope, why we endure trials, why we continue to strive against our own nature, against the pulls of the world, against Satan, who attacks us on all sides. He knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He'll strike us at that point. But that faith that we have can strengthen us. It does strengthen us. It helps us to endure. Paul wrote that it's by faith that we walk. We walk in faith, not by sight. We haven't seen Jesus, as I said, but we have faith. The faith that Jesus referred to. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can't be pleasing to God if we don't have the faith. The faith. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are many examples of faith in the Bible that we read about. Noah, 120 years building the ark. Abraham left his home to go to a wilderness area he'd never seen because God told him to. Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Joseph, all these men had faith. And women also had faith. Rahab the harlot had faith. Sometimes Jesus chose to heal without evidence of faith. Other times he required faith. In Matthew 13:57, cutting into this thought again, And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. And here it says, and he did not many works there because of their unbelief. They had no faith. So he didn't do works there. But other times, Jesus healed because of their faith. In Matthew 9, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to kind of quickly go through this. A woman who had been had a disease with issue of blood for 12 years. She spent all her living on trying to get this treated by doctors. She was unable to. But when Jesus came by, she thought to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. She touched him and immediately was healed. And Jesus knew what had happened. And she come to him and said, told him what she'd done. He said, your faith has made you whole. Because of her faith, she was healed. Then a ruler of the synagogue came in, was asking him to come to heal his daughter. While he was just speaking, he was told that your daughter's died. And Jesus told him to have faith. If you believe, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. The faith that Jesus wanted, he had. Jesus healed two blind men because of their faith. So faith is important in our healing. But faith is not always a requirement. Even if we have faith, that may not be the end result. There may be a more important thing for us to get out of an illness or a trial than healing, immediate healing. God is more concerned with our future in his kingdom than our immediate benefits. Romans 8:28, another memory scripture. We all know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. When we're not healed, it may not be because we don't have faith. Maybe it's for our own good that we can grow in faith. It takes more faith to not be healed in many ways than it does to be healed. To accept this is God's will. He's working out a different path than where we want to go. When Jesus was in the garden, he prayed three times that if possible, let this cup pass from me. He wanted to live. He wanted to be spared what was going to happen to him. But he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He was accepting God's will. He was telling him, I don't want to go through this if there's any other way, but whatever your will is. That's what we should be doing, how we should be praying. The effects of a healing or of a trial, overcoming a trial, are temporary. We're healed from one disease. We're going to get another one later on. Eventually, we're going to get that one that we're not going to recover from. The important thing is our relationship with God at that point. Not if we're feeling good, without pain. The faith God and Jesus Christ want in us is a living faith. A faith that produces something. An active faith. In James 2:14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works, Can faith save him? Paul said, yes, it's faith that saves us. But can faith alone be pleasing to God? James says no. Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, and yet give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man says, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith by your works, or without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 20. No, let's go down to verse 19. You believe there is one God, and you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. So, the demons believe. But what's the difference between the demons' belief and our belief? Their goal is not to be pleasing to God. Our goal, through faith, should be pleasing to God, to do His will, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what God wants from us. That's what Jesus wants from us. That's the whole purpose of the law. Verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He offered his son through faith. If he didn't have the faith, he would not have offered his son. So his faith had works. It was not alone. It wasn't dead. 22, verse 22. See how faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Hebrews 11, verse 8. The faith chapter tells something about Abraham. He says, when he's by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should later receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. He had faith, but he had works. Same thing with his son, when he offered Isaac his son. He knew that God had promised his inheritance through his son. And if he sacrificed his son as God commanded, God would have to resurrect his son. So faith has to have an action. It has to be a living faith in us. It can't just be a belief. It has to be a commitment to God's will, to obey God. There's no conflict with what James wrote and what Paul wrote. Faith saves us apart from our works, but our works have to accompany that faith. It has to produce something. It has to produce obedience. Faith does not negate the law. It upholds the law. We have to have faith to have access to the grace of God. And through faith, then, we receive salvation from God, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, Paul writes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace. Romans 3, verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The law does not justify us. It points out our sins. Once we've broken that law, we are under the penalty of that sin. Faith delivers us from that penalty. through Christ Jesus. The law can't save us. But faith in the grace of God can. Bertie's telling me my time is getting very, very short, so I'm going to have to rush. Now, the law in Galatians 3:25. Go back to verse 24, or verse 23. Galatians 3:23. Before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. That kind of gives you an impression that the law, we don't have to keep the law. But it's not that. It's not that we don't keep the law. Without faith, we didn't have access to the grace of God. The law revealed to the Israelites their sins. But when faith came, an atonement was made for those sins. So without faith, we can't have access to the grace. Once we receive God's Holy Spirit, God writes His laws in our minds and on our heart, so that we can obey the law, the requirements of the law, of love toward Him and love toward our neighbor. So they don't exclude each other, they complement each other. So, how do we grow in faith? How do we grow? Jeremiah 12:5. Says, if you have run with a footman and they have reared you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace there in you trust, they weary you, how will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now that's kind of awkward in the old King James. In the God's Word version, it says, if you have raced against others on foot and they have tired you out, how can you compete with horses? If you stumble in open country, how can you live in a jungle along the Jordan? If our faith is weak in peaceful times, how will we do in times of trials? I watched a video yesterday on the Bible, how it grew and developed, how we got the Bible. Many, many men gave their lives to write the Bible in English or in the native tongue, and were killed in barbarous manner by the Catholic Church during the Inquisition. Now, this is nothing that they deny. They acknowledge this. In fact, the Pope apologized for the acquisition that took place in the middle of Dark Ages. People were burned alive. They were killed. Over 1 million people has been estimated to have been killed because of reading the Bible for themselves and having a copy. We haven't faced that trial yet. If we're having trouble now, how will we survive when the times get rough, really rough, where our life depends upon our faith? Our eternal life, not the physical life. Our physical life, for many of us, is about over. But our eternal life hasn't begun yet. But if we don't have the faith to endure, we may not have an eternal life. Paul compared our journey in life to a race. We know many who have run this race and have finished the race. Their crown is already secured. It's waiting on them. It'll be given to them when Christ returns. Our race isn't run yet. We still have battles to fight. We still have things to overcome, things to grow in faith in one thing, grow in faith, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But during these times of trials, we're at our greatest danger of giving up. I'm tired. I need to rest. When we do that, we may not get up. We may not begin the race again. Romans 10:17. So then, Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We all have that word of God in our laps. We have it available to us. This is something that men and women died for. And how much do we take it for granted? We don't have just one translation. Many of us have many, many different translations. We have no excuse. If we don't use this, they can certainly condemn us when they rise in the judgment. How will we answer them when we say, we had it, but we had other things we needed to do. We didn't have time to read it. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, if we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we should grow in love. Or in faith. Faith is one. Love is one, but faith is another fruit of the Spirit. We should be able to grow in faith as well as love, patience, all those different fruits that Paul mentions in Galatians 5. We're told to quench not the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? For one thing, not reading our Bibles. We quench it. Not praying. Meditation is another key that we need to focus on. Meditation is very effective. Psalms 119, verse 97 through 100. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. But not by meditating on God's law, by reading the Bible, meditating upon it, we not only grow in knowledge, we grow in faith. In those quiet moments, when you're laying in bed, there's no distractions. Think upon some of these precepts, some of the things you wondered about. Think on them. What things will God reveal to you in these quiet moments? Fasting and prayer. Another valuable tool, essential tool. When Jesus came down from the mount with the transfiguration, man came to him with the epileptic son. He said, your disciples couldn't heal him. And they asked him why. And he said, because this kind comes out, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith of the grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from hence and from here to yonder, and it shall be removed. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. But this kind comes out not but by prayer and fasting. So prayer and fasting. Fasting is probably not one of our favorite things we like to do, but it is effective if we allow it to be. If we don't just go hungry, it's effective. So Christ asked if he would find the faith when he returns. We are here today because we have the faith. But how strong is our faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the foundation of what we hope for. It's the proof of what we hope for. And the evidence that we're going to receive that, what we hope for. Faith in God, our Father, in Jesus Christ, is the foundation of all our hopes. Faith in the promises that He gave us. We have to read His Word to find out what those are. To know those promises. Faith gives us reason to endure, to not give up during the times of trial. When Christ returns, we must have the faith. And it must be firm and resolute. It must be a living faith. We can keep this faith strong by prayer, fasting, meditation. If our faith is weak, we won't be able to stand during the times of trial in the swelling of the Jordan when we're running with horses. We must endure to the end. We must do all to finish this race. What God has promised us is beyond what we could ever comprehend. We're too close to the end now. Some of us may be very, very close, but we're too close to slack off now. So when Christ returns, He will find the faith in us.